Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Today, we are going to be talking about the meeting that we held on
April Fool's Day.
Yeah, April 1st, 2025. But first, let's introduce our people here. Today, we have
Tyler Reck,
Noah Miller.
My name was. Simon Medina. Let's get started right in here with the first song that was played at this meeting, though, which is Telstar by the Tornadoes.
Yeah, I found it like the Friday before, and I've been searching for this thing for 2 years. First time I ever heard it was in a diner up in Mackinac City, and it like dang near struck me to the ground. I was like, heard it, and I was like, this is amazing. I still think it is pretty amazing because Telstar was a satellite that could broadcast video transmissions across the Atlantic. Like, so somebody in London could watch JFK giving a speech or something.
Nice.
That was like the big thing, you know, in telecommunications and stuff.
It's very ahead of its time, I think, like the instrumental.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty fun. It's got like this kind of like driving like synth.
Yeah, it's very retro, but like at the same time, like it's a new, very... Like with like you said, like with the synth sound, like that's very forward thinking for what 1950 something, 1960,
67, yeah.
No, 62.
What? Yeah, this is super early, like really early.
Like I think it's the first British invasion song is what it's classified as.
Fascinating instrumental though. I like that song. Yeah. However, second song we have here. Yeah, somebody played Never Gonna Give You Up, which I wasn't there for, so everybody else at Record Club except for me got Rickrolled. I'm happy about that. Rick Astley came in.
Rick Astley spawned.
Friend of the show, Rick Astley came in, dropped a 45, played Never Gonna Give You Up, disappeared into thin air. No one knows who did it. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a song. Anyway, moving on, we have Fugazi, The Waiting Room.
Yeah.
Not The Waiting Room, just Waiting Room.
Yeah, so this is the first song off of their first album. And it was their biggest song in their catalog. Fugazi, like post-hardcore punk band, kind of late 80s sort of stuff. Off of this album, it was just kind of called Seven Songs. The version on Spotify is 13. There's like a couple like extra bonus tracks and stuff like that. But this one has the track Suggestion on it, which was another big track off of that one. And this album kind of culminates in the 15 minutes of fame that they had. Suggestion is kind of, it's standing against like objectification, just kind of at large from kind of a woman's perspective. But Ian MacKaye just has this really, like drill sergeant-esque like delivery to the lines that he gives. And Guy Picciotto, I think that's how you would pronounce his last name. He's just a great counter voice to Ian in that band. And yeah, just the whole album and the production of it is very clean. I mean, let alone being their first album, but just kind of a punk album in general. It's very clean, but there's still like some rough edges to it and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
I have to check that out. I put that on my list. I would listen to that. It was a great song.
Yeah.
The list is very long, but it's on there.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Next is I Could Be So Good to You by Don and the Good Times. This is a very good sunshine poppy kind of song. I found it in a dollar bin. And I really like it, and I decided to play it because, you know, it's kind of the lots of later 60s, like late 60s bands kind of had that whole one hit wonder sort of thing.
It's like a doo-wop kind of like almost kind of shuffle thing going on in here with some early rock stuff going too.
Yeah.
Really, really good harmonies on it too.
Yeah.
As well.
Speaking of one hit wonders, we've got two big ones in a row here. We have Wham Bam Shang-a-Lang by Silver, which you know that song.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I don't remember the bit in the movie. I remember it's in that movie. You know. I forget where it was. Then... Along with Wham Bam Shang-a-Lang, we have My Sharona by The Knack, which is like probably like the one of the biggest one-hit wonders. Everybody like immediately will jump to when you say that word, like that phrase. It's, you know, The Knack. Tyler, you mentioned that I've said that I really, really hate this album cover because it's just staring into the depths of my soul.
Yeah, the lead guy. This just, I guess, goes to show you how much of a one-hit wonder The Knack is. I don't even know any of their names, but the guy in the second, like, from left to right, the second guy is just staring at you.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Like, just pull up a picture of the album right now and look.
Don't look, it'll scare you. I mean, this is a very good power pop song. I mean, when you like, this is basically, it's like archetypal one-hit wonder, archetypal power pop song. Quite good, very catchy. Like, once you hear it, it doesn't leave your head. Those two songs are both, like I said, super catchy. That's why they're hits, that you can't get them out of your head. Yeah. It's dangerous.
Yeah. Back to Wham Bam Shang Lang. Two things about that one.
Whiplash.
Yeah. With that one, I believe that was the band's only album, right?
Pretty sure.
Because it doesn't show anything else on Spotify except some random trap thing apparently they're connected to.
Huh.
But this song definitely, it's kind of like it's Steely Dan meets disco. That's kind of the vibe that I really got from it. And just the strings, the hits in there, a lot of fun.
It's very lush. It's a beautiful song. Moving forward, Tyler, do you have anything to say about it?
Over, under, sideways, down is by the Yardbirds.
By the Yardbirds.
I had Eric Clapton, Jimmy Page, and some other guy. But it's really cool, a really cool song.
It's very good.
It's like really like kind of grooving and driving and all that stuff. And now on to the ninth song that we played.
Welcome Home by Coheed and Cambria, which did make an appearance in the trailer for the movie Nine. It was a Tim Burton produced movie. He didn't actually like direct it, or it wasn't really his vision. I'm blanking on the main guy's name right now. I'm very sorry, but
it'll come to you.
Maybe. Well, one can hope. But anyway, Welcome Home. This also made kind of a big appearance in Rock Band, the Rock Band game series. Just mostly, I think, for the dueling guitar lines at the end and the riff at the beginning. This song gets compared to Kashmir by Led Zeppelin quite a bit, mostly for that the verse riff and everything, and kind of the way that it progresses. But yeah, not really cool. Really cool album in general. I've mentioned it on the show before. Coheed and Cambria, they got comics that go along with their albums too. Yeah, just really good alternative prog rock. Yeah,
definitely check them out.
Yeah. Next, we have a song from a choreographer called Mickey.
Yeah, hey Mickey, that's the song.
Yeah. And next up, we have we have Little Darlin' by the Diamonds, which is a really good 50s song.
Yeah, that was very...
Like, which I kind of feel bad for 50s stuff. Like, I love 50s stuff, and sometimes people are like, oh, all of it sounds the same, you know, nobody remembers that. And I'm like, eh, not really. And if you listen to the playlist, it'll kind of prove my point.
Like, yeah, you do tend to bring some... I will say I do tend to subscribe to that, but you definitely bring like some stuff that, you know, is different from that like standard 50s sound.
There's
some deep cuts and
couple
really cool
things
stuff.
That I played that we're going to talk about later that are kind of funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just was 50s music, I guess. It's just that you know, artists didn't have the level of like freedom of expression they would get in like the 60s and later, like even into the 70s and 80s. Like everything was very like... It was very, you couldn't really be an indie musician in like the 50s as much, like, you know, everything's very corporate control, but that doesn't mean
it's not all the exact same.
No, yeah, it's
you
just,
know, like,
it's
like
the more interesting stuff.
Chuck Berry and like another like 50s artist, like the Crests or something, they sound completely different.
Well, yeah, just the genres, I guess. I mean, not to say like the 50s is like a bad decade for music, like, you know, compared to it laid the foundations for everything that came after it, obviously. Like, it's not going to like a lot of it's not going to hold up to like what it inspired, obviously, but to like, you know, you shouldn't discount the whole decade just because it doesn't
hit
the same level of sophistication as like, you know, like later like 70s, 60s rock stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it all builds up, you know, you can it's good to see where it came from, you know, makes sense to you. Anyway, that rant aside.
Yeah.
Here's a. An interesting one was it's a 70s song by the band Pink Floyd.
Who? They're the one that did Another Brick in the Wall and didn't have any other hits, right? I mean, I looked on Spotify. That song, jokes aside, that was the whole like joke.
Yeah.
Another Brick in the Wall has like over 1 billion streams on Spotify, and it's their most well-known song. And, you know, everybody knows Pink Floyd, so, you know, what...
I think that it's a good song.
Yeah.
This was kind of
grooving.
Yeah.
This was kind of the peak, I want to say, of just kind of their energy. I don't want to say it's like I don't want to...
I mean...
I don't want to definitively say it was, like, their best album, like, hands down, although a lot of people would probably agree with that. This was kind of their peak just in creative energy, I would say, because they had the album, they had the movie, and then later on, like, they started doing, like, stage productions of The Wall, and then they had the whole tour and stuff around that.
Are you talking about, like, The Wall, like, afterwards, or are you talking about, like, Roger Waters, The Wall, live?
They toured it in the 70s with the whole Pink Floyd band, not just Roger Waters.
They did it in the 90s, like, literally less than a year after the Berlin Wall fell. Mm. And he did it like in the zone right in between where the walls were.
Okay.
And he like played the entirety of the wall.
That was powerful.
Yeah. Huh.
But
that's a good song.
I listened to that and I was like, okay, I haven't listened to The Wall in like 12 years. I'm going to listen to it again.
I've been listening to it a lot lately.
Thanks, yeah. Andy.
Yeah.
Andy brought it.
If you're going to play part two, you need to play Happiest Days of Our Lives, which we did at the meeting. So yeah.
Oh, what the heck?
Yeah. I didn't put that on there because it was like, you know, just a little snippet of it. Yeah. So I don't really see a point, you know, to talk, oh, let's talk about Happiest Days of Our Lives and another brick in the wall, you know.
It is kind of two sides of the same coin. I just kind of consider it as like an intro to another brick in the wall.
Yeah.
It's like its own separate
just
thing.
Just like a little bit of Empty Spaces is the introduction to, you know, Young Lust.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That whole three song run. And Empty Spaces, Young Lust, One of My Turns. One of My Turns, probably my favorite song in the album. Amazing. But yeah, on to probably some more prog here.
I wouldn't call this one prog as much.
It's from a prog band.
Yeah.
They were prog at one point.
They were prog before this, but Owner of a Lonely Heart.
No, I'm kidding. Full of jokes here. Anyway, yeah, I like this song. Very quintessential 80s kind of one-hit wonder. But apparently, we were talking about it earlier in the show, they have more stuff than just that.
This is we'll call it that. They are one of the more influential, I think, prog bands out
there.
The album was a Close to the Edge. That's my favorite by them. It's one of those prog albums where it's like one song is an entire album side, so you know it's good.
Yeah, I just recently got that.
Really?
I just got that recently from a record store day.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I was able to pick that up for like $12.
That's a good deal.
Close to the Edge is 18 minutes, so it's like an entire first side of the album. And then there's two songs on the other side, and then that's the album.
The 80s were not a good time for a lot of prog bands. I mean, this obviously financially speaking, they kind of they did well. I mean, this is definitely not nearly anywhere as like complex or like instrumentally.
I had no idea they detailed. I'm being like 100% serious, like because we talked about it earlier. I did not know they did anything like other than like the album that Owner of a Lonely Heart is on.
That breaks my heart to hear that. But
Relayer. There's Tales of Topographic Oceans. That's another almost hour and a half album. That's only four songs.
This is good. Okay.
Each song is 20 minutes.
Let's cut to the chase. What album number is whatever album this is?
I am not sure, but it was in their switch from like their 70s kind of prog folk jazz fusion-esque influenced sound into kind of the 80s, like trying to keep up with all the effects.
So they probably have like a decent number of albums before this one, right?
Definitely. Most of their good albums, I think, are before this one. But
that's,
Well, I learned something new today.
Yeah.
Very good band. Very interesting band. Let's take it a step past this one. This is a song that I don't have words for, so I'm going to let you talk about this one here.
Submarine Races?
By Jan and Dean. This is... Well, it's not really a song. Well, it's a song, but it's like not like
it's
basically
more of a skit.
Another good April Fool's kind of jokey kind of thing. The whole entire joke here was that, you know, the narrator is trying to, you know, come up with an excuse that he's telling his teacher. And he's like, oh, you know, my baby doesn't like fancy places. She just wants to go to the submarine races. And some guy's like, Hey,
I like submarines.
Yeah, let me go with you. Oh, I'd love to look out your window if I could.
I'd call you. I'd call you handsome. I'd smile too if I saw you.
Yeah, and it's like no. It's just an excuse. An excuse? What? You know? And it's like, oh, we just go down to Chautauqua, and then we park. You park. And
I would,
you know,
I'd sit in the back.
Yeah, I'll be quiet. I'll let you glue on my conning tower.
Well, you know, I'd say that I'd say people go home and listen to it, but I think that you basically just gave them the whole skit now.
Yeah, probably.
So there's nothing left for them to hear.
But it is funny because it's just like the whole time there's just a 60s like
and it's like a backing track. Yeah.
It was a different time. Yeah. You could just put that on an album and everybody would have to live with it.
Yeah, going on with the whole sea thing, we got Sea Cruise by Frankie Ford. It's another one of those 50s songs that sounds a little bit different, especially with the ringing of the bell and the whole boat horn and all that stuff. It's pretty good.
Atmospheric.
With more yacht rock, we got more yacht rock, right,
Simon? I wouldn't call the one before this yacht rock, but this one is definitely one of the most, I don't want to say there's like a trinity of yacht rock albums, because I can't name two other ones, but like this is definitely one of the more well-known yacht rock albums, which is Sailing by Christopher Cross.
I'm trying not to
interrupt. No, you're good. This song is, what's this, Minstrel Gigolo, which is, I have no idea what the meaning of that is, but I did listen to this whole album a couple days ago because I watched this documentary they had on HBO Max that was just about yacht rock, and I learned like the horror that the entirety of like late 70s, early 80s pop music and everything that has descended from that can trace its origins back to the band Steely Dan and the group of session musicians surrounding them. So like you break off from them, you go to like, was his name Michael McDonald? He made the band, you know, he was in the Doobie Brothers. That guy breaks off. There's people in that band who are different bands. All of the band Africa
it's a big family
Steely
tree.
Dan. No, it's a bush. It's not a tree. It's a bush. It's like everybody's interconnected. Michael Jackson is connected to it for some reason. It like bounces off into like, no, I'm not even kidding you. They had like in the show, they had like a giant diagram of like albums with like arrows going between them to show like everybody who's like played on one album, played on another one. The like Michael Jackson Thriller, the song Human Nature was written by the people in Toto, and like that was connected to yacht rock. And then like there's like a Michael McDonald song that got sampled by like it was like an early like G-funk artist, so that whole scene is connected to yacht rock, which is connected to Steely Dan. And like you start diving into it, it's all
I'm just seeing I feel like I'm
crazy person right now. I'm like standing in front of my giant like board with a ton of like
talking, or you're talking to
you know
a
what I mean
wall?
Like no like there's like the wall with like all of like the papers with like the pins with the strings between them, and I'm like ranting at like the audience right now, but like that's what's happening right now. I swear you need to look into this. It goes deeper than you could possibly imagine. Like the yacht rock mafia, they control music. It's terrifying.
And then it also has its tendrils in the prog scene as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's scary. I don't know. I don't probably somewhere.
I mean, because Bill Bruford also. I mean, he was on Yes's stuff earlier stuff, but then he also filled in for Genesis when Peter Gabriel was leaving.
And he was King Crimson too, right?
Yeah, he was in King Crimson too. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, this is getting a bit.
Okay, yeah,
much.
We're getting a little off topic here.
No, sorry, just next, finish this thought. Yeah. No, I want to know where this is going before we keep going.
I don't know. It was just the whole mafia.
Oh, prog
thing.
Oh yeah, prog rock.
Prog rock.
Everybody
mafia.
Hangs out with everybody. Yeah, it's terrifying. Next. All of music can be traced back to either Steely Dan or King Crimson. That's the truth.
Yeah. Next up, we have...
I'm sorry, that was
okay.
A lot.
So you aren't going to believe me when I say this, but like, look it up. But this is Chuck Berry's only number one Hot 100 hit. Not R&B. They're Hot 100. Hmm. And the song is called...
You know,
and that's what the song is, because it's...
Ding? What?
Yeah. No, I'm censoring it because
the song's called My Ding-a-ling.
Yeah,
you can say that.
Yeah,
you can say that.
I know I can say it.
They played it on the radio.
I'm trying to be funny. I mean, they played it on. I'm trying to be funny, but
it got to number one.
That is true. Yeah, it got to number one, and it's not about that. Technically, it's about a toy that he got from his grandma. That's just strings and some bells on it.
And
he likes it a whole awful lot.
And nobody has ever put any double meaning in music ever. Certainly not Chuck Berry.
Never.
This I'm just in awe that this is the only song that he's ever done is a number one hit.
Like Sweet Little 16 hit number two on the Hot 100. I'm sure he had like a bunch of number ones on the R&B charts
probably,
in the 50s, but it was like, you know, segregation in the 50s and stuff kind of like put a real giant dampener where artists could go on the Hot 100.
Yeah, like a lot of like the early rock early rock classes you think of, like they didn't even like hit the Hot 100 until like white artists were covering them, you know, like. Mm-hmm.
Elvis half, you know, or the Colonel, I should say, buying half the rights to songs and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's that, and at least he made it eventually. And that's even if the song's a little bit, maybe not the one that deserved it the most, it's good that he got the honor at least one time. I think that's a good thing, I guess.
Another 50s related skew is Hushabye by the Mystics, which is quite a good song. It was on Stand By Me, which is a great movie.
I've never seen it, but I think we skipped over one. Did you want to talk about Tarkus real quick?
Yeah, yeah. You got you guys have a thing with ELP. You guys don't like them too much.
We had to play the song Carnival 9 in band class, and it was a pain.
It over and over.
No, because the song was like, I had to play the cymbals, and the whole thing was basically just quarter notes. So I was like, the whole time, crash.
I don't remember
much. It was very tiring.
I am 99% sure I've blocked all that, like the Carnival 9 stuff from my memory.
Good thing we're not talking about Carnival 9.
No, this is
talking
about Tarkus.
Tarkus, yes. And we didn't play the whole 20-minute
You played
thing.
Eruption.
Yeah, yeah. We played the first movement, which was Eruption, which is just this cool, like,
it was
5/8 of, like, organ line that Keith Emerson does. Greg Lake is following that on the bass, just all fourth, so he's staying on the same fret going up and down the strings.
Jeez.
It's crazy. Yeah, really cool stuff.
And you mentioned the prog rock mafia earlier. Have to mention that Greg Lake was the lead singer of King Crimson before he was in Emerson, Lake & Palmer, so add another string for that.
I didn't know that.
Carl Palmer.
He sings all the... I thought
they were just like some band formed with some random guys, you know, like the Beatles, like where it was like, four guys... like met and they played stuff together. I thought this was
all
just
three
like
of these
three
guys
that I didn't know they were in stuff beforehand.
They were all in like different prog bands before this, right?
I'm not too sure about Keith Emerson, but Carl Palmer, at least my dad saw him play with Asia, and he did this like really cool drum solo where the riser came out.
Tons of yacht rock.
Yeah, Asia
and all this stuff.
Well, Asia's like the big prog super group. Like, not they're not even a prog band, but like all of the people in that band were like
prog musicians.
Super,
yeah,
super like influential prog bands, and then they made.
Okay, we should
that
talk,
album.
You could talk about this on its own kind of.
We could do a prog rock. I'd love to do a prog rock episode.
No, I mean like the prog rock mafia thing.
I can't. We can't talk about it too much because then they'll come get us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do we have any others? I think I might have skipped some. Or is it Psychotic Reaction?
No, we didn't skip
that one.
Okay.
No, that's a good song.
I liked it. It's a '60s song that I kind of like that Tim brought in.
Yeah, garage rock, something like that. It was interesting.
Next up.
All the Young Dudes by Mott the Hoople. I don't know what the band name came from, but it's an interesting name for a band.
It's from a book.
Sure.
Pretty sure.
I would believe that.
I think I looked it up.
Yeah. And this is actually
like from
some character
of a book or something.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This song is actually written by David Bowie, which is interesting. I thought. I mean, when you listen to it,
it's a very David Bowie song.
Yeah, it sounds like a David Bowie song.
Yeah.
Like the delivery of it, at least, and like the instrumental, I guess. It would have fit on Ziggy Stardust, I think. Nobody would have like said anything about it, I guess.
Right.
But moving after that, we have just a little song called Search by the Minutemen, which is fun because that band definitely lives up to its name in that I feel like this song particularly is literally 50 seconds long, so it's not even a full minute. So that's a good band.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that gets brought in a lot, quite a bit. And it's always fun when they bring it in because, you know,
Steve.
Someone's going to have to run up and put something on right after because it's only a minute long.
Yeah, which... Speaking of running, there's a song about driving next, Beep Beep by the Playmates. It's this guy in this Cadillac is driving down the road. There's this little Nash Rambler that pulls up right behind him, and he's like tailgating this guy. And it's just the song kind of starts out slow, and then it gets faster and 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 faster. Yeah, like literally super fast, very fast.
I have nothing to say about this. This is terrifying me, but
yeah, it was one of the first 45s I ever bought.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Then we got Concrete and Clay from the Rushmore. Great movie. Wes Anderson movie. It's got like a very like lots of 60s kind of music in it.
Yeah.
He always does that. He's always finding weird 60s music to throw into his movies, I have to say.
Yeah, next we've got a certain
We've got two big hit songs, one of which is a one hit, one of which is a million hit, but
a billion.
Billion, sorry.
Spotify, over a billion.
Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees and then Take On Me by Aha. And we'll have to say right now, Stayin' Alive, They Can Never Make Me Hate You. This is a beautiful song.
Oh, yeah.
Like I know it's one of those like songs where like you do CPR to it. If I'm ever like having a heart attack, that's the one I want them to play.
The Office.
Right. And then good song.
Yeah.
Very
also, speaking of the Bee Gees and all that stuff. With your Law and Order, you were saying, I don't know how A Night on Disco Mountain relates to crime. The crime is that Tony and Double J and all them were climbing on the Verzano Bridge, the Staten Island Bridge.
So
that's the crime.
Okay, well,
anyway,
bring that back.
Take On Me.
This is a song.
that was a popular, like,
I think the music video is really awesome. This song was like a big meme song back when I was in high school. I remember that, like, was everywhere. It's
Marlon
fine.
Webb and stuff
it's
like
a,
that.
It's a very upbeat song.
We played it for marching band.
Me too.
It was pretty fun.
We did?
Once.
But actually, this one, you know, being as massive of a hit it is, I do, and you know, it hits, they can get kind of tiring to listen to when they just kind of show up in the wild. It's like, I'm really tired of hearing this song over and over and over again. But when you come into Record Club, it does kind of put it in a slightly different context. You're in more of a mind state to kind of appreciate the actual good songwriting underneath a hit like that. And there is really good songwriting underneath the song Take On Me. You know, aside from being just as popular as it was, it's still a good song.
Like, I mean, you trash the songs like this all you want. I mean, like, there's a reason that it was as big as it was, is that it was able to connect to a lot of people. You know, it's very catchy. Like, you can't get, like I said, it's one of the songs you just can't get away from once you hear it.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot of these, like, one-hit wonder songs, but especially this one, I'd have to say.
Yeah. And it might be annoying in the grocery store, but, you know, you sit at home and you actually turn it on.
It's a difference between wanting to hear it and not wanting to hear it.
Speaking of grocery stores and Take On Me, it was also in that Family Guy episode, you know, where the hand comes out of the milk and,
that's like the actual music video,
Chris,
I think.
You know, and he gets brought in to the whole thing.
Yeah, they do, it's like, that's literally the actual music video of it, too. That's the thing. Really cool music video, by the way. Go watch if you haven't seen that one.
Yeah, definitely check that.
Definitely
out.
Very cool music video. But I think that's the end of the playlist though today.
Yeah.
A lot of good, interesting one hit wonders. Some not one hit wonders, but definitely hits.
Yeah,
definitely a lot of that.
Moments in
but
the
spotlight.
But
that's the whole joke. It's like, oh, this band's one of the best known bands in the world. Let's play their number one
song. Exactly. Very good. But if you're interested at all in coming into any more meetings though, and seeing what other interesting music will get played there. You can check out our website, which will be linked with the show. There you'll find our meeting schedule, any playlists we make, any past podcasts, as well as any themes for the future meetings we're going to be doing. Everybody's welcome at the Record Club. Like we said, you know, the only barrier to joining is that you have to be willing to hear some music that you wouldn't normally listen to, as this episode has probably demonstrated. And you just have to have, you know, a general appreciation for music. Whether you have no records at all or you've been collecting for decades, we're a very friendly group. We accept all kinds of music. We love to hear what you have to bring in. Thank you for tuning in. We'll hope you see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you too.
Bye.